Jesus shall reign.
Make it through this world all alone. a mighty, mighty big man, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley because I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
Your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. While you're turning there, it's good to have the Suttons with us again, sitting in our midst here. You pray that they sell the farm and come on back home. It's good to have them here. Abigail's in homeschooling. Pray for her. Pray for mom and dad as they work that out and do that for the year. That's a good thing, boy, to have homeschooling. Pray for Rachel. She's homeschooling too, right, Rachel? Yeah. Pray for my daughter. She's homeschooling. Got a lot of homeschoolers going on, and that's good. I think it's a good thing, especially as we continue to go down the road and our country's decline. I think the parents are going to have to do all you can to raise your children the way that they ought to go. We'll have children in our passage here this morning who seem to know the right. They must have been homeschooled as well in our passage here this morning. Let's take a look at this in Matthew chapter 21. Now, last time we preached, we had Jesus making the blind men to see. Remember that? On the road from Jericho down to Jerusalem. Well, now he has drew, when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, verse 1. Matthew 21, verse 1. And we're come to Bethpage, under the Mount of Olives. Then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them. So he hadn't come to Jerusalem yet. He was just on the outskirts of it. And he said unto them, to his two disciples, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, and now we're quoting the Old Testament here in Zechariah, verse 5. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt of the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children, see, I mentioned that. And the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were sore displeased and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, Yea, have ye never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He came way back then as king and they rejected him, but he's coming again someday as king and they will receive him. And we're looking forward to that. I pray that people here today who are listening to me might receive him now in their hearts as their Savior, as their Lord, as the one whom they need in order to have eternal life and forgiveness of sins. So guide and direct in what we say here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is called Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. I don't know how triumphal it was because they rejected him. But at this time, at this point, it was a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Notice Christ's omniscient instructions to his disciples. When they drew nigh to the city, he tells two of his disciples to go into a nearby village and they will find, as when they go in straightway, they'll find an ass tied and a colt with her, loose them, bring them unto me. And they listened, they did it, and they came back with that colt and put Jesus on there, put their clothes on. And of course, he walked into Jerusalem and everybody was praising him and thanking God for him. And they were tearing down branches, putting it in the way so that his colt could walk on that. They were receiving him like a king. Now, they had heard that he had made the blind men to see. They saw, heard about many of the miracles that he did. And they were glad for him coming, hoping that he would set himself up as king. And, of course, throw off the Roman tyranny that was over them and set up a great kingdom. Of course, they were hoping that that would happen without the cross. Without the cross. But you know what? The cross still needs to have taken place. Even if they would have received him as king, he still would have had to go to the cross. Because what good would a kingdom be filled with a bunch of sinners that couldn't be saved? But what kind of a kingdom would it be if the sinners could be saved from their sin and enter into his kingdom, his everlasting kingdom in a great way, saved, forgiven of their sins? Well, Christ's omniscient instructions to his disciples. Jesus truly is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, which is, which was, and is to come, the Almighty. That's what Revelation chapter 1 says. He tells them, go find this ass and the colt, bring them. If anybody says, wait, why are you guys taking these donkeys? Why are you taking these asses? You tell them, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. Now, this morning in Sunday school, those of you who weren't here for Sunday school, too bad. You got to get out to Sunday school. You learn a lot of good things. We learn about the foreknowledge of God, that God knows things ahead of time. Do you know that the instructions that God gave right here, once you go into that town, straightway you'll find donkey there and the donkey's colt right next to it. I want you to bring them. Anybody says anything, tell them the Lord needs it. Now, that was foretold hundreds of years before. Foretold. Now, how is it that this would all come to pass, and you have the wills of men. What if the owner of the donkey said, oh no, you're not taking that. Why, that prophecy would not have been fulfilled. But it didn't happen that way. God knows beforehand everything. He knows everything. There's not a thing he doesn't know. And I said to the Sunday school class this morning, you guys are going to leave church here today, and you're going to choose to do things this afternoon. You're going to choose where you're going to go to eat. Maybe you go home to eat. Or maybe you go out to eat. You're going to choose to do some activity, or sit down and do nothing, or take a rest. You're going to choose those things. You know what? God knows beforehand everything. He knows what you are going to choose to do this afternoon. He doesn't make you do it, but he knows you will do it. He knows everything. I think this is just a beautiful example of my Bible being something I can totally rely upon. Anything it says, I don't have to worry that, well, maybe that won't happen. Or, maybe God will change his mind. No. How do I know this? Take your Bible, you're at Matthew, go to the left just a few pages into the Old Testament to Zechariah. You don't go very far, you go right past it. It's a small book. Right at the very end of the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah, chapter 9 and verse 9. Now, this was written hundreds of years before Jesus was born. And it was written down as a prophecy. Zechariah is a prophet. So he's saying things that are going to take place in the future. This has to take place. Not maybe or might. It's going to take place. Look at what was said by Zechariah in chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. That's the city where Jesus is coming in Matthew 21. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And then he goes on talking about other things. There it sits. For a long, long time, that verse just sits there in the Word of God. And then when Jesus is born and walks among us, here we come to his point in his life when he comes to Jerusalem. This would be the last time he comes to Jerusalem, for he's going to be crucified when he gets there. But in the beginning, they're glad to see him and they're worshiping him like a king. But he says, I want you to do this. Two disciples, you on down that town, find that donkey, bring the donkey and its colt with you, and I'm going to sit on that. If they ask you why you're doing this, tell them the Lord hath need. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet saying. And then he quotes Zechariah chapter 9. Now, Matthew writes this, that Jesus did this, instructed his disciples, in order that, and then Matthew, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, says this was a fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. It's a fulfillment. God knows what's going to take place. And it took place just as Zechariah wrote it. Notice, though, back in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, it said he is just and having salvation. That's not mentioned here in this passage. He is just and having salvation. For you see, the first time he came, they would not accept him as the just one, as the one also having salvation. But oh, they wanted him as king. In the Gospel of John, after he fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, they were going to by force make Jesus their king, and he had to hide himself from them. They were going to force him to be their king. And why? Because he fed them. He fed them with what they wanted. Their bellies were full. But they didn't want their hearts saved. They didn't want their sin being brought to their attention. And they didn't want to trust in Him as their Savior from their sin. They thought they were okay. A lot of people are like that even today. Think they're okay. They're self-righteous. But you need a Savior. And that Savior is this one whom we see coming into the city here that day a long time ago. For it wouldn't be but a week later that the same city, I won't say the same crowd, hopefully these people weren't the ones saying crucify Him, but the city in a week from now would be saying crucify Him, crucify Him. From being king to crucifying Him. Why? Because He showed them their sin and their need of a Savior. And all of a sudden, they weren't interested in Him being king anymore, but rather that He would be put to death. And little did they know that as they cried out, crucify Him, crucify Him, they were fulfilling the will of God that Jesus should die on the cross for their sins. They were doing this willingly out of their own heart and yet providing for the salvation of all men. Here, these disciples went, got the donkeys. They told the person who owned it, the Lord hath need of it. And he obviously must have said, okay, then take it. To fulfill the prophecy of the Lord concerning how Jesus would come into the city. Isn't it something how God does things even when the will of men sometimes seems to be going against God, yet God is working all things out for His own pleasure and for His own favor and for the goodness of you and me, for the grace that would save our souls. I'm glad that in spite of man's will, which goes contrary many times to God, God's working behind the scenes to save our lost souls. How often did you reject the good news? You know, exercising your will and saying, nah, I don't need that. Nah, I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready to get saved. You all remember how long it took to get you to say, get saved. You know how you said no? I would say most of you probably did not say yes to the gospel the very first time you heard it. You probably had to hear it 2, 3, 4 times, if not more than that, before you finally submitted your will to the matter of needing a Savior like Jesus Christ. And then you chose and said, yes, I will believe. Thank God for His mercy and grace that puts up with your unwillingness, for He knows what lies ahead. I'm glad I serve a God like that. He knows everything. Well, what happens here? The people receive Him, though a great multitude revered Him as David's son and wanted to talk about His royal worthiness, and they would put the branches down. Oh, let's make a road. Let's make it comfortable for Him as He comes and into the city and everything. And they were worshiping Him. You know, there are two groups today. Those who own Him for what He is and others who refuse to give Him glory. As the people were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. He is coming in, the people were shouting all these things. There was a group standing there that didn't like it. And who are these? Verse 15. When the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. Sore displeased. You know what? Of all the people in that crowd, the ones who should have been worshiping Jesus the greatest should have been the chief priests and the scribes. For the chief priests all day long do in the temple the things that speak of the Messiah to come. Did they really think that the blood of bulls and goats and that would take away the sins of the people? Or did they understand as they would read their scriptures that someday there would come one, a branch of David, who would redeem Israel from all of her sins and troubles and forgive her of all of her sins. They saw that. The scribes, their responsibility is to read the Old Testament and to read it out loud to the people when they would come to the temple. Boy, imagine what that must have been like when a day would be set apart for the scribes to read the Old Testament to the people who would congregate at the temple. And they would read the scriptures which speak of Jesus and his coming and what he would do. How about Isaiah 35, where it talks about how he would heal the sick and the lame, make the blind to see, make the lame to walk again. They would read that and, well, that certainly isn't happening now. That's got to be happening someday. And Jesus comes and he does those things. It even spoke of one who would come in the spirit of Elijah, John the Baptist. They already saw John the Baptist's ministry. And they heard him talk about the king is coming. He also presented that king as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You know, of all the people that should not have been sore displeased, it would be the chief priests and the scribes. But who was it that was out there calling out and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David? Children. Children. And that's why the Lord says down there in verse 16, yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. You know what? Don't ever get tired sometimes of singing the little children's songs. Because you know what? The little children's songs speak volumes of the doctrine of Christ. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Oh, that's for the little kids to sing. But I'm going to tell you what, if you think about almost every word in that song, it should bless your heart. It should make you say, God, thank you for being my God and Savior. The little children's songs speak volumes. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. What a wonderful thing. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You know? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it. I'm going to let it shine till Jesus comes. Oh, that's doctrine. Our little kids are singing about when Jesus comes. And here he was coming into the town and they're out there singing. And the ones who should have been in the head of the whole thing are saying, we're displeased with this. Do you realize, Jesus, that they're ascribing to you praises that belong to the Messiah, the Lord? Jesus has already and will in the future say to these very men, I am. I am that I am. I am he. Who are you? I am he, the Messiah that you guys should know all about. In John, the Gospel of John, Jesus had to say, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but they are they which speak of me. The Lord Jesus Christ, that is. Wow. What great words. They should have been worshiping him. One more thing before we close here. Do you see what Jesus did? One of the first things he did when he came in his triumphal entry, he got off the colt. Okay. Verse 12. He went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. He said, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves. What were they doing in there? They They were selling the sacrifices to the worshipers who came to the temple to offer their sacrifices.